The Holy Gospel according to John, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We shake our heads and we laugh about the foolishness of the Israelites complaining in the wilderness. They were so self-absorbed that they couldn't even speak coherently. "Listen, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food." How could there be both no food and miserable food? Really, all they knew was their fear of going forward into the unknown. So they romanticized the lives they'd lived in Egypt, longing to return to what was a life of generations of slavery. We have a similar problem today with so many people wanting to return to life as it was pre-pandemic. There were problems in our lives then too. And even if we could return to that life, we'd have to deal with those problems. So rather than wishing for what can't be, we are called today to receive God's love and to live in it, opting, coping with our challenges. That means that we have to do the hard work of planning and preparing before we can return to in-person worship and other activities. And we must continue to take precautions, even after people are vaccinated, even after we are resuming in-person worship, to protect both ourselves and others. This is one of the ways that we live in the love that God has taught us. God is there to see us through the hard times, but we still have to live through them. God didn't make the serpent stop biting the people in the wilderness. God gave the people a means to heal from the bites so they wouldn't die. They had to look up at the bronze serpent and recognize in seeing that serpent their own sinfulness and repent in order to be saved. We too need to recognize the times and places in our lives when and where we have departed from the path God has shown us. And then we can repent of those mistaken turns and return to God. It's not just a matter of finding a navigational solution like using a GPS. God is waiting for us, but God needs us to recognize the difference between the way with a capital W and the detour around the necessary, although maybe difficult path that we are inclined to take. This is the significance of our journey through Lent. We seek the reason for Jesus' crucifixion and its meaning, an understanding of what it accomplishes. We see that God lifting up Jesus, the Son of Man, on the cross is more than his death. Jesus' death is the completion of his mission as God incarnate. He is joined with us in our humanity. God resurrecting him is his being exalted from that crucifixion. But the completion of the cycle is in Jesus' ascension, when Jesus returns to God the Father and makes a way for us to spend eternity with him and the Father. This eternity is of an ongoing, never-ending relationship of mutual love between each of us and God. Without Jesus' intervention, we live lives of darkness, full of wrong turns and poor choices and unhealthy practices. But God did intervene through Jesus with his earthly life. And now that relationship of mutual love with God is available to us. Not solely after we die, but right now. But for a relationship to be mutual, both parties must respond. God has responded over and over and over again. And God is ready, waiting with open arms to engage with us in love every day of our lives. It's just a matter of our responding with love, in love to God. Pastor and preaching professor Fred Craddock tells the story of his father, who spent years of his life hiding from the God who was seeking him out. When the pastor used to come from my mother's church to call on him, Craddock recalls, my father would say, "You don't care about me. I know how churches are. You want another pledge, another name, right? Another name, another pledge. Isn't that the whole point of church? Get another name, another pledge." My nervous mother would run to the kitchen crying for fear that somebody's feelings would be hurt. When we had an evangelistic campaign, the pastor would bring the evangelist, introduce him to my father, and then say, "Sick him, get him." My father would always say the same thing. "You don't care about me. Another name, another pledge. I know about churches." I guess I heard it 1,000 times. But one time he didn't say it. He was at the Veterans Hospital. He was down to 74 pounds. They had taken out his throat, put in a metal tube, and said, "Mr. Craddock, you should have come earlier, but this cancer is awfully far advanced. We'll give radium, but we just don't know." I went in to see him. In every window, potted plants and flowers. Everywhere there was a place to set them. Potted plants and flowers. Even in that thing that swings out over your bed that they put food on, there was a big flower. There was by his bed a stack of cards 10 or 15 inches deep. I looked at the cards sprinkled in the flowers. I read the cards beside his bed. And I want to tell you, every card, every blossom, every potted plant from groups, Sunday school classes, women's groups, youth groups, men's Bible class of my mother's church, every one of them. My father saw me reading them. He couldn't speak, but he took a Kleenex box and wrote something on the side from Shakespeare's Hamlet. What he wrote was, "In this harsh world, draw your breath in pain to tell my story." I said, "What is your story, Daddy?" And he wrote, "I was wrong." It's not until you know that God is seeking you in love, not in condemnation. It's not until that moment that the gospel becomes good news for you. Let's pray. Holy God, you so loved the world that you became a human being and lived among us, sharing the pain of human existence and bringing the love of God to that reality. Open our hearts, unstick our minds, and release our fears so that we can return the love you have showered upon us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.